say around a quarter to three. Still so high, hypnotized in a trance from this body. So buttery brown and tantalizing. You were the thought I needed help from this feeling that I felt. So shook I had to catch my breath. Oops, there goes my shirt up over my was happening. Swallow my pride, let it ride and parted. But this body felt just like mine. I got worried. I looked over to the left, a reflection of myself. That's why I couldn't catch my breath. Oops, there goes my shirt up over my head. Oh my, oh my. Oops, there goes my skirt dropping to my feet. Oh my.
Takeover with Pussy Palace on FUBAR Radio.
Yes, yes, yes. You are locked in to Pussy Palace Takeover of FUBAR Radio. Remember, we want to answer your questions. Let us know if you're in a self-love or self-care rut. What songs you may listen to in form of self-care. You can get at us, tweet at us, or DM us at FUBAR Radio on all of the socials.
Yeah. Yeah, so continuing on with our discussion, we're just going through some of our physical tools that we use as forms of self-care. Let's move that into the emotional tools. I'm sure we've kind of touched on, because there's like a symbiosis between the two often. But one of the things that was mentioned before, like talking to your inner child, dismantling your insecurities, allowing yourself to be vulnerable, those are all examples of emotional tools to express love. If we all just want to like talk about the emotional tools that we use and I guess how they are useful to us. Georgia, do you want to start?
Yeah, so I feel like talking to my inner child daily is something that I have to do. So it's kind of going through each day and checking in with myself multiple times, like how am I feeling, what emotion am I feeling right now, what mind am I in? And I am like an emotion mind, which is like hot and fiery. Am I in wise mind, which is quite like I can understand? Or am I really like in logic mind, where everything is quite like not as emotional, if that makes sense? So I have to really check that. What I go through so many different emotions a day, so it's kind of tracking that. And I feel like a lot of people aren't really aware how they feel, whereas I feel like I'm very much a feelings person, and I have to know how I feel, otherwise I just end up kind of in a rut, or kind of like a zombie, or kind of not noticing things that are happening each day. So yeah, talking to my inner child, and kind of when I feel really depressed or low, kind of like talking to myself like, okay Georgie, you've got this, like get up, make some lunch, like here's how you do it, kind of like tutoring myself almost, like counseling myself, to psych myself up, because often I would seek it in others, or like I don't live at home anymore, so I'll just like talk to my mum, but now I have to really do it and kind of be independent and be an adult, and it's really difficult. It's really like, it's so overwhelming sometimes, like you've got washing, you have to cook, you have to get ready, you have to like be social, you have to work. It's just like a lot sometimes. It's about like breaking it down and just allowing myself to cry as well, like crying so important. And I feel like going through my childhood, like, or at school, I used to cry all the time. Teachers would be like, oh, don't cry, or like stop crying. But like, I think tears are great for me. Tears are like, I just come through the light. I feel so much better after a good cry. I feel really like refreshed, really rejuvenated. So yeah, allowing that emotion to surface, if I feel really depressed, letting that come out and sitting in it, being vulnerable, and not forcing myself to, oh, I need to wipe these tears away, or don't cry, because that's when it all builds up, and that's when I know for myself, that's when I hit crisis point. And so it's all about like preventing that kind of crisis point to happen. Yeah.
All right, thank you.
I can relate to that. I really, really love crying. And I really love crying in a public space.
On the tube, on the bus.
Yes. There's something about the movement of the bus or the tube. There's something about being anonymous, like not being by myself, since I'm also an only child. And I feel like sometimes if I'm in a really, really dark place and I'm crying by myself, I can spiral out really easy. But this, it's almost, it feels almost protective when I'm out and about, or even crying in the club, honestly, like when there's something that triggers an emotion and I'm able to just let it out. Yeah, there's some sort of I think catharsis, is that the word?
Yeah.
But there, that feeling of even being held, even though no one is holding me, just because I'm out in public. I really, really enjoy that. I relate to that.
And also, just quickly, because you said like sometimes it kind of spirals out. So for me, I have to kind of set my self-soothing kind of station up like before I cry, because I know like this could potentially go into, I could hit a crisis point,
like,
or these feelings could become so overwhelming that I feel to the point of feeling really suicidal or things like that. So I have to have my lavender oil, I have to have my crisis plan ready. And also I set a timer on my phone because I love to cry.
That's really awesome.
I'm like, okay, cool, like how long? My max is half an hour. So usually it's like, yeah, like half an hour of me listening to sad songs, me crying, me feeling this shit, me feeling so alone, so like unsupported, feeling it, like really feeling it, to the point where I'm like really hot and I've got hot tears, and then the timer goes off and I'm like, cool, I need to start calming myself down. Splash my face with cold water, because it's again sensory. I kind of snap out of it. Also having like a cough sweet, because I don't like cough sweets, but if I have one of those, my thoughts will go on the taste, like this is disgusting, rather than I feel really suicidal. So it's like distracting myself, watching a YouTube video. So yeah, setting that timer and allowing myself to have that space and time, and not rushing through each day where like I haven't cried. Like I cry a good like 4 times a week. And I mean, everyone's different, but for me that's my way of processing stuff and showing up today. Like crying's great.
I love that. Thank you.
I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
And really practical, in some aspects, like have timed crying. That's like super practical.
It's like giving yourself boundaries.
To express.
It's like, go
and
there,
like,
but come
I can
back.
Be, exactly. I can be vulnerable, but I'm going to safeguard myself from this spiraling. So I'm actually going to give an allotted time for that. It's really cool. So there's a few. So I think I mentioned kind of self-compassion. That's a really big, poignant one for me. And that practice is little things like So if I'm in the bath, I tap. So I tend to tap my heart and think about how I'm feeling. That's really important for me because as a empath and as somebody that was socialized to be told that you're too sensitive and you can't express yourself, you can't express that, even though I'm really, I think it's really important for people to express their emotion and be vulnerable, I learned that I started to fall out of practice of that compassion for myself. So being able to tap, tapping also releases a lot of energy anyway. It's really good for anxiety, especially if you, so there are tapping methods that you can even access on YouTube. So if you're experiencing anxiety or realizing it with thought process, so with my condition, my thought process can spiral and I can think about suicide and that can easily lead to a crisis. So tapping to calm myself down helps to distract my thought pattern, focuses on the action, and then I can start thinking about compassion, self-compassion for myself. Said that twice, self-compassion for myself. You get it. And then I guess other emotional tools that are really, really important for me is boundary setting. That is like, it's emotional. It also requires an action. Mm. It usually involves other people. Mm. But it starts with, it's an emotional tool of me being able to, A, practice compassion, because being able to say no is self-compassion. Mm-hmm. And I realized how difficult that was for me. Because I'm so used to saying yes. Mm-hmm. I'm so used to knowing what my darkness can look like, and people are used to seeing me put together in a certain way. So, oh God, Josh, she's so amazing and queen. And, you know, I appreciate that. But I also know I have been through some dark times. I have called Samaritans many a times. Mm-hmm. I have made plans. I have done certain things. So I know what that dark time really looks like. I have been sectioned and been in an institution for 3 months of my life and lived with people that are really unwell. So there is a part of me that when I hear or acknowledge people's darkness or see them in pain, I know what that feels like. So I don't want it to feel that way. Mm. I also know what it's like to hide that from people and feel like you have to do it by yourself. So I want to show that someone can show up for you. Mm. But that compassion and that empathy needs to have a boundary. Because if you don't, you don't know how to protect yourself. And next thing you know, you're unwell. And so boundary setting is a very powerful emotional tool. And when you are in the stage of making that transition from being the person that always says yes to now saying no, other people need to fall in line. Mm-hmm. And that's difficult because they're so used to you saying yes. Yeah. So when you start saying no, it's like, but why?
Yeah.
Oh, you can't come and, okay. So what do we do? Like, literally people start losing themselves. They don't know how to navigate that. And then you go into, it's very easy to go into the cycle of guilt for feeling bad, for some not being able to show up for someone.
Over-apologising.
I'm so sorry. Are you okay? I've cut all of that out. Like, yeah. Because I know that if you really need me, I will do it. And I'll ground myself and I'll come there. But if I don't have the energy for myself, I can't be there. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. That is actually okay. And they're kind of interlinked. It's boundary setting, but it's still linked to compassion.
Yeah.
So that's a very big thing for me. Those are kind of my key emotional tools at the moment.
I love that. Thank you.
Yeah.
And we have a third guest, and we're going to introduce them right now. This is Chloe Fulani. If you could please tell the people a little bit about yourself, the work that you do, and then we'll get into your emotional tools.
Yes. So I'm black feminist, poet, artist, performance art precisely, like a mixture of dance and reading and stuff. That's me.
Multifaceted goddess.
Yes. Also, we'll be found selling tickets on the door at Pussy Palace. This is the place that you see.
Your favourite door. Wait, are we allowed to say it?
You can say all the
you
things,
can say whatever
honey.
You want.
Okay. Yes, your favourite door, bitch.
Yes,
yes, your favourite door, yes. So, emotional tools. What does your emotional toolbox look like, Chloe?
I'm going to just come off what Jocelyn said. In a way, that's like actually kind of like, it's been interesting just thinking about like self-care and self-love and like how people use it or come into it. And one of my friends recently used a boundary setting, but in a like kind of violent way.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm. And like, not that like what yours, it's not that it is a violent thing, but it's like, I find it so interesting when people come to this self-love and don't really know where they're coming or where that language is coming from as well. And like, what was one of the things they said to me? There was something like, they just said one of those terms that you would normally use when you're discussing like a sexual abuser. And I was like, oh, like, I'm happy because I brought them into like Black feminist self-care kind of conversation. And so I was like, great that you're coming into this, but like, this like ruined our friendship. But yeah, I just wanted to like drop on that. But like, just how like, it's interesting how people use self-care come into it and like need to like really understand what that is before they're just using that word and throwing it around. Because like, obviously you're, for me, Jocelyn is someone who fully knows what that language is and where it's coming from. So there's never, but like a lot of people I've seen that are new into the space or new into the language are just like, what? Just like kind of learn it or like learn the language but also understand where it's coming from. But anyway, that was just like,
we want to hear about your self-care journey as well. You know, but feel
free to say, I mean, talking about friends, I would say definitely me, it's having conversations with friends like emotionally. I can like do all the emotional work by myself in my head, but it doesn't translate into reality to like have a conversation with someone else. And I find that so strange with me. Like, I need to be like, even with you, when one time you had a phone call, it was like, oh my God, I feel so good afterwards. Because it was like, I already had all that information, I already dissected it, but it wasn't reality yet. And I find, for me, my self-care, and I think it's also because I'm an extrovert, my self-care is also in conversation with others. Emotional self-care. Because then I can like, I feel better, more happy or alive. And even physically being around people, like, again, just seeing me today, when you came to me, I've kind of been thinking about these things around like Black euphoria, specifically towards like when I'm around other Black women, Black people, and how like they can give me this energy of euphoria, just in these weird like short spouts of moments where like you didn't even know you needed it. And yeah, so that's all like, I guess like not really super tools, but kind of tools, I would say. Like, yeah, I guess the phone calls to friends.
I don't know. I think the fact that you recognize when you need it and you're utilizing it in specific moments in your life, it really, you're using it like a tool. What could just be a conversation, you're making sure it fulfills you in that particular way.
Yeah, I'd actually say, actually, definitely, now you said that, made me think, yeah, when I was, there was this guy I was talking to and he basically was gaslighting me throughout the whole conversation. It was just through text.
They do that a lot.
And I had to like...
Sorry. But you know, whilst we're here, we're going to tell the truth.
And like, I had to call my friend. Like, I was like, I know there's something wrong. I know this is not right, but I'm now starting to feel crazy. And then calling my friend was just like, it was able to just take me out of that situation. Like, I wasn't fully healed straight after, but it was like, no, you are still sane, you're together, like, this person was trying to manipulate you. And that was like, yeah, so definitely like reaching out to others is like a massive emotional self-care tool for me.
I love that you said that, because I think we're similar in that I do a lot of work in my head, like, leave me alone and I'll give you every theory of what's wrong, where it came from. At 6 years old, this happened and this is why I'm doing this right now. And I can do all that. And then I'll go out and I'll just keep doing the same, like, toxic bullshit to myself. But once I say it to someone else, it's almost like I feel accountable. Because now you really see me. You know what the deal is. And you can side-eye me when I'm doing stupidness. Therefore, I'm not allowed to continue doing stupidness. Georgia, did you have something you wanted to add?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I feel like friendships are important and, like community, finding that. But then also on the other side, at the flip side, knowing when people aren't, I guess, showing up how you feel like you need that person to show up to, and kind of taking breaks in friendships as well. Or saying to people, you know what, I actually can't have you in my life. And it can be really hard, but I feel like when you start on the journey to self-love and self-care, you kind of recognize how unhealthy some people are. And I'm trying to put that in a nice way, but it is the truth. And like, I can be unhealthy. Like, absolutely. I really can be unhealthy. So it's kind of, you realize that and you're like, oh, what are you, I have to kind of think, what am I getting from this relationship? What am I getting from this interaction, like friendship, relationship, whatever, like family member, and kind of having that, trying to have that open, honest conversation with them. Like, you know what, I don't like it when you do this, or you know what, I can only see this person for a short amount of time, or kind of reevaluating who's in your life and like what they are giving. And if they aren't giving you anything, then I'm sorry, but you're gonna have to make the cut. You're gonna have to say, you know what, for my mental health, I can't really be around you at the moment. And feeling absolutely okay about it. Don't feel like ashamed. I think that's really important, kind of knowing what people are giving you at different times and selecting that and being okay at being selective.
Absolutely. Yeah. Community is going to heal the world. And it's true. It's community that's going to heal the world.
Let's
but
talk about
also
it.
Within community, we might need to diversify who we're going to for support. And sometimes it doesn't need to always be friends. Therapists are amazing.
Samaritans
right?
too.
Because they're not your friends.
Yep.
Right.
There's no unconscious bias. There's no... There's no unconscious bias because they're paid to listen just to what's going on and to give you some constructive coping measures, coping tools for you to go out back into the world. Sometimes your friends might not be able to do that for you because they're emotionally linked to you and they want the best for you. They've seen that you keep making the same mistake with the same guys or the same girls or the same people. And it's like, yeah, well, babe, you knew that was going to happen. Well, actually, sometimes you need to have someone that can help you dissect that. And that might be the therapist.
Yeah. That's
enough.
I love therapy.
Quickly as well.
Same.
Yeah,
when it comes to crying, again, because I'm an extrovert, I cry best with my friends. Like, there was like 2 months ago, I was just like not sleeping well. I was like, I know something's off, but don't really want to pinpoint it. Then I went to go see 2 friends, and then one of my friends is talking about like how she's not being able to write and stuff, and I'm just bawling, and I'm like, I'm sorry, you're talking, and I'm crying, and, they're just holding me, and I'm like, and then I was like, thinking about when you were talking about crying, I was like, oh yeah, most of my vital emotional cries have been like with friends or in a coffee shop with a friend, and I'm like, yeah, I need to sometimes cry alone, but yeah.
And so I think there's something about that of almost like being able to validate the pain with others, because once you've, when you cry on your own, it's different. When you cry with somebody else, they're able to see your true pain. They're able to, and also the compassion will come out of them and the empathy that you actually aren't finding it difficult to turn into yourself. When you're able to receive that from somebody else, it validates your pain, but it also makes you accountable about what needs to happen post this. And sometimes it's harder to do that on your own because you're so used to it. You cry in that darkness, put on your lippy, and out you go. Like, and no one knows.
Okay, on the back of that, is there
let's go deeper.
Let's go a little deeper. Can you tell, like, are there any distinctions between, like, before you self-love, self-care, and after? Like, is it in the moment? Is it, like, a ripple effect? You feel it later? Like, can you tell the difference?
Absolutely. Like, when I am not practicing self-care in a time that I need to, so it doesn't, I don't have to be in crisis, but you can almost like have this, I call it like my out of body silent watcher. So I will watch myself deteriorate, knowing you haven't done your spiritual bath today, you're going to bed at 3 a.m. and you know you need to wake up at 7, you're going to be exhausted. Like, sleep deprivation is also a thing. Why are you still, on YouTube? Like, these things, and you can see it. It's almost like I'm watching myself deteriorate. And then as soon as I create that space for myself, because almost sometimes self-care practices feel like work. And sometimes they're tiring to do. Like, I mean, there was times when I was like getting back from work at like 10 and I'm like, oh, a spiritual bath takes a while to prepare. And then also when I've got all those lavender bits and the rose petals in the end, I need to gather
clean
those
up.
All
yep.
up. I've got to clean up. Like, I can't just get out. Like,
process.
It's a process. It's a process. Sometimes I'm not there and I don't want to do that. But not when I don't create that time, I feel it and I can see it, and then the shame builds in because I start shaming myself for it. You know better. And then when I actually create that space for doing it, like perfect example of my baths I'll use again, when I get in a bath, when I get in my spiritual bath and I get out, I feel lighter. I feel held. I'm speaking calmer. Like, it just happens instantly because I've given myself that space. And yes, some might say there's a placebo effect that's happening. Maybe. But the fact that I think it's part of the fact that I have mentally created that space, physically created that space, and being able to do an action for myself, it feels good, you know? And I think when I am sleeping on time, I now put like a time on my phone, so my alarm will go off after 9:30. There's no more phone calls, and then there'll be another time that goes off 11 o'clock. You need to be in bed. I know you can stay up all night because you're nocturnal. You're born at 3:15 in the morning, so that's going to be your peaking hour and your witching hour. But babes, you got things to do.
Yeah.
Go to sleep. And when I have that routine, I feel better. I want to have sex. I want to do things. When I'm exhausted and tired, I don't want to do shit. And it's just knowing that. So I think it's really important for me to. Then that's when you're honest with yourself. It's really important for me to be honest with myself about what works and what doesn't, and don't try and fool yourself into, it's okay, I can do this for a few days and I'll be okay. You know you're not gonna.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
That's some real routines talk right there.
Routine is very important. Very, very, very important. You'll slip up sometimes because life happens, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying that everything in life needs to be super structured, because there needs to be some flexibility because life still happens. But if you can feel yourself slipping when you know that you've been out of routine for a while, that is the moment, that is a call to action.
Yep.
Don't wait for crisis to happen.
Yep.
And then it's like, oh, I'm going back. And that's what I used to do. Slip out of it, do self-care, then slip out of it, have fun, enjoy life, and then get unwell, then I'm back again, and it was just this cycle and it's shameful. So just be honest with yourself. When you know that you're slipping out of a routine, get back on it. There will there will be flexibility, but it's so important. You know yourself better. You know,
I am loving this conversation. We're gonna take a little musical break, but before we go, we want to do a little exercise when we come back. What ways do you show love to yourself? Think about ways that you show love to yourself and write down three things that you absolutely love about yourself. And later on in the show, we're going to jump into that. But right now, we're jumping into Carrie Fox, No Small Talk, and you're listening to the PP Takeover.
Yeah.
Three cell phones and I still don't ever call them. Why would I call them? Bitch, you know I'm ballin'. Spend that money, make it bounce back like Spalding. Got a new nigga and he say he from New Orleans. If he ain't talking money, nigga, why the fuck you talking? All my bitches bossy, all my diamonds flossy. Rap gang sriracha, man, you know I'm saucy. I got a white dude in Boston, he whip a Audi. Bitch, I'm taking calls, no small talk. 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 Three cell phones and I still don't ever text them. Catch me out in public and you know I'm flexing. He's saying that he got connections, I'm a finesse. I got a nigga out in Texas, he swing the legs. Money on the dresser, drive a compressor. Top notch niggas get the most, not the lesser. Why would I even stress them when they be pressing? I just leave them guessing and move on to the next one. Bitch, I'm taking calls, no small talk. 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 Okay, this is the part when I need y'all to make it bounce like Spalding. 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 Got a new nigga in it. Any, 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 save on the wall. Bitch, I'm taking calls,
And welcome back to Pussy Palace Takeover on FUBAR Radio. So just before the break, we asked our illustrious guests to think of things that they love about themselves. I'm asking you to do that at home as well. So feel free to send those in either by email or on Twitter or Instagram. So if we just all go around and share one of the things that we love about ourselves, do you have a tribute? Volunteers tribute?
What?
Do you want to go first?
Did you say tribute?
Like? Yeah.
Game of Thrones.
Oh.
Game of Thrones? Hunger Games? No. Saw some white media. No.
Lol.
Anyway, let me just say, my smile.
Because it's beautiful.
It is.
Even though, like, it's such a, like, physical and thing that's people reflecting externally and stuff, throughout the years of my life, it has been the only consistent thing that hasn't changed about, like, I guess, how people receive it. And there's always this thing of, like, people always say, like, oh, you brighten me up when I see your smile, blah, blah, blah. And I'm always like, even when I'm not feeling great about that, or I'm not in my own great mood, I do enjoy that, like, my smile can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's just been throughout my childhood to now.
Yeah.
It's,
like,
beautiful.
Mm, that's
magical. I love that. Yes.
Right?
We love that about you too.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I love everyone else's smiles as well.
Thank you.
Mine's just the best.
Just so it's clear. Dan, what do you want to share with us?
Mine is my soft, gentle, sensitive nature.
Yes.
We're in a really, really hard world, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and we're pushed to be tough.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a time and place for everything, but I love leading with softness.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the more that we try it out, the more it'll have a ripple effect on each other, you know?
Yeah.
That's mine. What about yours,
Aiden? What's mine? I'm not sure of mine. It's that task of trying to think about nice things of yourself. And I'm like, well, we've never done this before. But having said that, there are many things that I do love about myself. I think maybe compassion.
Mm.
I think I've always prided myself on kind of being like hard and tough as nails.
Mm-hmm.
My West Indian's upbringing gave that to me. But the more I am reminded that I have like a breadth of compassion, I think I love that about myself.
Mm.
That's beautiful.
What else has everyone got to share?
Mine is my mental health journey and like my mental health condition, which is borderline personality disorder. Like, I feel like I've come to terms with that diagnosis, and I feel like if I hadn't been through all of my stuff, I wouldn't be like as understanding, as compassionate, as in tune with myself if I hadn't gone through all of the shit, basically.
Yeah.
So I feel like I love my mental health, because even though some days it can be really ugly and really like hard and really harsh, at the end of the day, I look at it as like it's a child, and I teach it, and I need to look after it. And so that's something that I love, because I wouldn't be the person I am today without it. I wouldn't be the self-care queen. I wouldn't do all of that stuff if I hadn't been through that shit, and if my brain was wired differently. So my mental health, I love it.
It's just so wonderful, this conversation. I guess for mine, even though it's one thing, but it leads nicely into a second thing. So it's my spirit, which leads nicely into my expression, because they're interlinked. My spirit, for me, I've never actually wrote that down. Today is the first time I've kind of acknowledged that, that I actually do love my spirit. My spirit is tenacious. Yes, it's strong. It's motherly. I have the strength and the capacity in me to carry others, but at the same time, I am soft and I'm sensitive and I feel things. My spirit is ever changing and floating, and it's teaching me new things about how to express myself. It teaches me new things about how to show compassion to myself and to others. It teaches me new things about how to be bold in my expression of love. So those are things that I find really important, and I've never really acknowledged that. And spirit's kind of been a thing for me recently of just acknowledging what my spirit is when it's talking to me, when it's telling me things, when there's a call to action, and also when I need to be held, and it tells me that too. It tells me when to be strong, it tells me when to hold others. It's this amazing thing that's ever changing and growing with me in this journey, mm-hmm. And feeds into how I express my love in the world and navigate the world. So yeah, so my spirit.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you for those shares. Thank you everyone in the room for that.
For real.
So we're just gonna make our way into a fun little game.
Yeah.
We're gonna read out a quote and we have to attribute who it is to, which public figure. Celebrities can be
do
deep
your best.
Too.
Do your best.
Okay, so my mother was very persistent and she kept saying that I had to take care of my mental health. Who do we think said that?
I feel like that was Megan Thee Stallion.
Megan Thee Stallion. So other options are Drake, Nicki Minaj, or Beyonce. So no. It's Megan.
Sorry.
Are we only allowed one answer with the group? Is it the group's decision?
I mean,
maybe. Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, come.
Who wins?
Beyonce, but
okay. Chloe.
I'm gonna agree with Justin's threat.
Okay, if we lose.
Why Beyonce?
I just feel like Beyonce is very like grounded, and from what I've read about her and like her interviews, like she does reference her mum sometimes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I just feel so connected with Beyonce, like mm-hmm. we're sisters, so mm-hmm. I just know.
And why do you say Megan?
Megan also has a similar relationship with her mum, and I've been watching some interviews with Megan. And she has a really good awareness of how to take care of herself. She's really good at boundary setting. She's just come into the game really knowing how to navigate it and take care of herself first. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I felt like that would come from her. Beyonce too, but I also didn't know. I've watched a lot of Beyonce's interviews, and whenever she talks about her relationship with her mum, it's almost from, it's always a caring, nurturing aspect. Mm. But she never talks about, Beyonce actually never talks about her mental health.
Yeah.
No. So I didn't see Beyonce talking about that, but here we are.
And the answer is
Beyonce.
It is Beyonce.
I knew it was Beyonce.
I mean, that doesn't mean that Megan didn't say
she
that.
She called me and told me.
You know.
My quote. It's my sister, Beyonce. I get very passionate in games.
You're the beehive.
Yeah, I would be
okay, you're in the hive.
I'm going to have the twins. Maybe not married to Jay-Z.
I mean, I like her. I do love her, but I'm not in the hive.
Yeah.
I'm not dying for Beyonce. Mm-mm.
No, I wouldn't have her.
This conversation. Anyway. All right, next question. All right, next quote. Depression never discriminates.
Lady Gaga.
We have Lady Gaga, we have Jim Carrey, we have Dwayne The Rock Johnson, or Adele. So we're in Lady Gaga.
Okay, we got one for Lady.
Okay, so let's have a discussion.
Wow.
Boundaries.
Wow.
No, I feel like it could be two people.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it could be Lady Gaga or Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey has been quite vocal about his depression.
Yeah.
I love his journey, you know. I've seen him talk to Eckhart Tolle and Oprah about his show. So I feel like it could be either. And
I like the way that you go through this.
Right?
Yeah.
So I feel like Ching Chang Walla. Let's see.
can I just say how I think it's Lady Gaga?
Yeah.
Because she's just like, it's a very short statement. It's quite bold. And I feel like she would just make it, like that statement, just like, mm-hmm. depression never discriminates, and that's it, end of interview, whatever. So that's why I think, like, it's not a long quote.
Chloe, do you have any thoughts before we see the answer?
Look, not that I'm team Jocelyn, but I'm going to go with team Kelly.
Okay.
I have not paid her. Okay.
Uh-huh. I think
bribery.
Hashtag best friend. Yeah, Jim Carrey.
Awkward. So that's two again. Sorry.
I'm not, it's okay.
We meet again, we know.
I'm only child. I kind of know.
Oh no!
Being left out.
Drum roll.
And the quote was said by.
I don't really know much about the rock.
Come through self-care, kids.
But when you perpetuate patriarchy,
it's the rock.
The rock is
the answer.
You haven't even said it. Sorry. Is it the rock?
Okay, well, look at you, Dwayne. Come through.
Come through.
Yeah,
I didn't even know.
Actually, I've watched a couple of interviews where he kind of has like a really grounded take on his career and like fame and the limelight. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that could be on brand.
Yeah. I know
good for you.
About
I'm still not watching the films. I'm not watching the films.
You're not going to see Jumanji, the next level?
I'm good.
Ooh, this next one is interesting.
What was that for?
So, I just saw it on the way here today.
So that could be all of
this. This is not fair.
Let us fill in the listeners on what we're looking at. So, this next one is from...
But is it...
From our community,
it
so
is,
mental health is not fashion. So
was,
who said
oh, no.
this?
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
So who said this quote? Is it Tanya Compass, Aisha Tan Jones, Travis Alabanza, or Sistrin?
I think you should say it.
It's Aisha.
It's Aisha Tan Jones.
Oh, yeah, Aisha. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. You all know this.
The unanimous group decision.
We all
come together. Hey!
Yes. Are you going to tell people like where that statement Aisha. Came from? Yeah. Like where she made that amazing statement?
Was it Paris
Gucci.
Fashion Week?
Yep.
Or
yes.
one of
Gucci
the European...
It was Paris.
It was a Gucci runway, and they had their latest collection, which was very...
straight jackets.
Yeah, they're wearing straight jackets. And had straight jackets on what they called
conveyor belt.
Mm. Yeah,
and like just bringing out the models, and it was just very distasteful. Mm. And Aisha just came out and wrote on her hands, mm-hmm. "Mental health is not fashion," and it just stormed all the press and really made the fashion world kind of look at what Gucci had done. Mm-hmm. I mean, not everyone agreed, but it was powerful. It's very powerful. Big up Aisha.
Big up Aisha. Mm. And so we're just going to take some more comments and questions from these people that have been listening in for the last 2 hours. So another tip that someone uses is putting a face mask on and a light and a candle. Mm. I have only just recently got into face masks. I think simply because I've just seen people use them, I'm like, it can't be all that. It can't be all that. My skin.
It's glowing.
I've got you. There is an amazing brand. There's two. Wild Seed. Do you know about Wild Seed?
Mm-mm.
Online, run by this amazing sister who's from Ghana. Big up Ghana, because I'm from Ghana. And Wild Seed have this just a great like line of face masks, and one of them is Green Smoothie. It's like a clay mask. It will clear up any spot. It's amazing. And then Mutulu Oblongata also puts tubs of sea moss that she blends herself for everyone. Mm-hmm. Sea moss will change your life.
It noted. I'm taking notes over here.
Blemishes gone. Open pores shrinking. Like forever glowing, even when you've been on a night out. It's it's amazing.
Mm.
And you can put it on your genitals too.
Yeah. And Iris messaged in to say that Bossy by Khalees is the song that it may not cheer them up, but it makes them feel ready to face the outside world.
Mm.
And I think so much of Khalees' music does that.
Yeah.
I have bought tickets to see her on tour next year. 20 years of Kaleidoscope.
Prepared.
I am.
I just saw that today.
Wow. Okay. Taking notes.
But we are approaching the end of our show.
I can't believe it already. 2 hours.
Time flew by, and I'm really grateful for that we managed to have this discussion about self-care. I know that I've taken away a lot of tools and tips that I will be implementing into my life, and I hope everyone at home listening can also say the same. So we just want to thank our guests for being here, for sharing the space and sharing of themselves. So if you all just want to tell the people where they can find you, Georgia, where can we find you? What are the ats?
So it's at Selfcare Queen. And then I do have a website as well. So it's worldofselfcare.com for all of your self-care, body positivity kind of inspiration. I share a lot about my mental health online as well. So when I'm having dark moments or like do a picture and write like loads underneath, because that's my way of just kind of showing up and being honest with people that social media isn't all glossy and shiny. Mm-hmm. So yeah, follow me at Selfcare Queen.
Okay, and Jocelyn.
You can find me at Yaa Sankofa, YAASAN for November, KOFA on Instagram. And if you want to learn more about our Naked Truths, if you want to model, if you want to collaborate, or you just want to attend and come and hold space for yourself, that is at Our Naked Truths with an S. I run the account, so you can also inbox me if you have any questions, just want to learn more. We're taking a bit, we've just come out of a social media hiatus. We're coming back next week. So I look forward to speaking to you all then.
Yes. And Chloe, where can people find you?
Simple, just Instagram. One dot Chloe F. No, one dot Chloe dot F.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. So find all of our guests on Instagram or other social medias and their websites.
Also, catch me at Pussy Palace as well.
Yeah. I catch all of us at Pussy Palace.
When is the next one?
The next one is in December. We do have a December party.
Yeah.
Yes. We'll be announcing soon. It's towards the end of the month. We'll be announcing soon. So make sure you follow Pussy Palace on Instagram and Twitter. That is PXSSYPALACE. And wait to hear the announcement for our next party.
Yes.
But that has been us. That has been our show.
Yes. Aiden, it was great to do this, to have this conversation.
I love you, Dan.
I love you too, babe.
I love everyone in this room.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
We are going to play out the show with
one of my favorites.
Jasmine Sullivan.
Woo.
Masterpiece.
Because we are all masterpieces. Yes.
You've been listening to the Tuesday Takeover. For more information, go to foobarradio.com.
Tuesday Takeover with One True Pairing on Foobar Radio. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Welcome, everybody. One True Pairing Takeover on FUBAR Radio. It's my absolute pleasure to be here with you all. Hope you're listening. Hope you're sitting somewhere very comfortably. Let's have some Peggy.
Ain't no detail. Ain't no common fight. Ain't no real money in rap, niggas. Niggas be talking shit. I tell them pull up, bitch.
Cease to exist.
Alright.
Don't get exposed, nigga. Keep cold, nigga. Only in it for the cash and my gold. Shit post, nigga.
I died too, so much Twitter.
Twitter. Son. Ain't no details.
No.
Ain't no conversations.
No.
Ain't no real money in rap. It's all retail.
Facts.
It's all outrage. Y'all put this pussy in a prime position.
For real.
Young Peggy, I'm a false prophet. Bringing white folks this new religion. My fans need new addictions. Niggas be talking shit. I tell them pull up, bitch. Cease to exist. Don't get exposed, nigga. Keep cold, nigga. Only in it for the cash, my gold, nigga. Shit post, nigga.
I won't do it like this.
Say what you said on Twitter right now.
Right now.
Exactly. You only brave with a board and a mouse. You wouldn't talk when I put you in the ground. Don't leave the house. Don't get capped by a nigga in a motherfucking gown.
Fuck!
These niggas fragile. Rapping so good to me. I hope it get me canceled. I hope that I'll be dazzled. Ooh, bitch, I must be scared.
Yeah.
I packed a fix in case you bitches want a scandal. I can't. Glock with the dick. Y'all be typing it. But y'all ain't gonna do shit. Pussy ass life.
Ace. Really good to be here. One True Pairing Takeover. I've got my good friend and stage mate Josh Taylor Moon in the place.
Oh yeah.
He's doing okay, you well?
I'm alright, I've got a pint of water.
He's got a pint of water, yeah. I've got a black coffee. It's instant coffee, but you know, this is internet radio. I'm about to give Josh PTSD by playing one of my songs. You wanna hear one of my songs?
I'd love to once more. Yeah, is this the last time though?
Hell no. It's One True Pairing, One True Pairing. Never seen him a shoreline. Though it was something I'd never find. But two lives entwined. A star crossed, I would live. Forsake this love we found. Bound forever. And I'm not some kind.
One time we share one true prayer.